Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
I want to start in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Verse 20. "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent," and he went to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us," he still does the same today. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And now our final verse, verse 35, "And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." Now when we think about the resurrection, it reminds me of a time that the Lord spoke about in Luke chapter 5 as well as in John chapter 21. And I was thinking about that this morning, and it occurred to me something that had happened to me the other day when I was mowing the yard. I've got a zero turn, and I was in the backyard, and I put up a volleyball net for Madeline for Christmas, and I've got steel poles that go down in the ground, and that net's pulled real tight. But in the middle, we've got a little bit of a drainway, and in the middle, if you duck and get low enough, you can almost go underneath that net. Well, I'd been mowing, and I decided to keep it at full throttle and see if I could go under that net. And so when I got to it, just a natural reflex was to grab the net, to reach up and try to push the net up. Well, my hand got hung inside the net. And so the lawnmower, I got a joystick drive country clipper, and so my arm is over here on the stick. The other arm got hung up, and when it did, it threw my lawnmower in a couple of quick circles in the midst of a net and nearly yanked me off of the riding lawnmower. And so I had a thought. Well, my first thought was, did anybody see me? And so I looked around to make sure nobody saw it. But my thought was this: that net had a hold of me. And the gospel is the net. The resurrection is the gospel net by which every single believer has been caught. In fact, without the resurrection, our preaching would be futile. Your faith would be in vain. But because of the resurrection, you can trust the gospel net. And in Luke chapter 5, if you remember, Jesus said, "Have y'all caught anything?" And they said, "Well, we fished all night long." He said, "Cast your net out and into the deep. Launch out into the deep." And if you remember in Luke chapter 5, the net was breaking. That was before the resurrection. And the net is breaking. But then we come to John chapter 21 after the resurrection, and again, they're out there fishing. And that time they cast the nets out, and at Jesus' word, and they catch 153 large fish. And the Bible says, although there were so many, the net was not broken. You see, the gospel holds. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the net could not hold us. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the net still holds us today. Now, I want to point out just a few things so that you can kind of understand how the Lord works and how He works in our heart today and how He saves us and how He talks with us. You say, well, they had it made. I mean, there's Jesus in physical form after the resurrection walking with the two from Emmaus. Now, I want you to understand the events that led up to that. Let me just kind of set the scene for you for Easter Sunday morning. And just imagine you're there and you're watching this scene and you can see the tomb and it's just before daylight and you can see the stone that is sealed with a Roman seal and you look over at the tomb and you see this guard, these soldiers that are placed around the tomb to guard the tomb. And so here are these soldiers standing there and then suddenly an angel appears. And that's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 3, if you wonder where that's at. And these angels appear. This angel appears, and the Bible says that his countenance was like lightning. Can you imagine that? That his clothes were white as snow. And the soldiers fall back as if they're dead. I mean, it literally is that fearful. They're petrified. And so the angel rolls back the stone, and so that Jesus can come out. Now, we don't know all that happened at that point, because the Bible doesn't tell us if the soldiers actually saw Jesus come out of the grave. I think that they might have had, because the soldiers went back and they reported to the rulers all that had happened, and they were convinced that this was the work of God, these soldiers. But did you know that those rulers, to talk them out of spreading that story, they paid those soldiers a large sum of money to say that we fell asleep, and while we were asleep, the disciples came and stole away the body. They stole the body of Jesus. And that was reported even in their day after that, because they started that rumor. So they had to be paid to hinder the truth. This was soldiers. Then after that, two ladies shows up. There was Mary Magdalene. There was also the other Mary. And they show up and Jesus ends up appearing to Mary Magdalene. Remember, when they get there, the angel says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And so the Lord appears to Mary Magdalene, and then Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they head back into town to tell the disciples that were gathered together what they had seen. But when they get to the disciples thought that they were crazy. They're like, this is like idle tales. They didn't believe them. But then Peter and John decide they're going to go check it out for themselves. So Peter and John run to the tomb, and they get to the tomb, and you know the story. Peter goes in and he sees the grave clothes and how the face cloth is lying by itself. And the Bible says, and they believed. They knew something had happened, that Jesus was out of that tomb. And then after that, the disciples that had gone and saw the tomb, then after that, the disciples, the Lord had said, go to Galilee and I will see you there. Well, in the meantime, while the ladies had gone back and they're telling the disciples all that took place, Jesus suddenly shows up. And Jesus is in there and he reveals himself. Then next we see him revealing himself in Galilee to over 500 people at one time. And then later we see him revealing himself to James and the apostles, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. And then later, from heaven, Jesus appears to Saul, who now we know as Paul, on the road to Damascus. That kind of gives you a picture of his appearances. Jesus remained on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection. And so in this, after Jesus had appeared to the ladies, and after he had appeared there in that room, the Bible says that he also appeared to Simon Peter. And we don't know exactly when he appeared to Simon Peter, but we know that during that same day, Easter Sunday, he appears to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, these two disciples were a part of the group that was in Jerusalem. They were a part of those group of disciples that had heard the testimony of the ladies, because they tell Jesus that right here in Luke 24. They had heard about the testimony of the angels, but they're walking away from the resurrection. And that's our first point this morning. There's four things, and I'm going to be brief on each one, that you need to see The first one is this: don't walk away from the resurrection. Here they are, they've heard the testimonies. They've seen the signs, they've heard about the angels, they've heard all these different things, but they still did not believe. And these two disciples are walking back home 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem to Emmaus, to their village, and they're going back home. And Jesus knows their hearts, and Jesus loves them. And for whatever reason, we're only given one of them's name, Cleophas, the other one is unnamed, and I think that that's intentional. It's so that when you feel like nobody knows your name, and you feel like that, how would God have anything to do with me? You say, would Jesus care about me? Does Jesus love me? Would the resurrected Savior, would he appear to me? Does he know my name? He knows your name, and he knows your heart. He knows what you're experiencing this morning. He knows the feelings that you have. He knows all of the details of your life. And the most important thing in your life is not to walk away from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you know the resurrection was one of the, it was included in all of the New Testament preaching? When we study the New Testament preachers, they preached the resurrection. They preached that Jesus has been raised on the third day, because without the resurrection, there could be no hope of eternal life or salvation. And so don't walk away from it. It's the principal doctrine of Christianity. Matter of fact, Christianity can only stand because of the resurrection. It is our foundation. But here's the second one. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Look at verse 15. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained. Now it's interesting to me. God restrained their eyes from recognizing Jesus. Why? I think it's because that God wanted them to recognize Jesus based on the truth of his word, based on faith. And so their eyes are restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? It's a question. He's saying, what's the conversation you're having? Why are you walking and so sad? And I love the answer. Then one whose name was Cleophas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? You see, Jesus is getting it out of their heart. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet. They believed a lot of good things about Jesus. He was mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Remember the Hosanna, the king? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were wanting an immediate deliverer from Rome. We were hoping it was he who would redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this today, and this is where it should have just connected right here. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Then they tell the testimony in verse 22 about the things they heard about from the women. They talk about in verse 23 how his body was not in the tomb and how there was a vision of angels. They talk about verse 24 how the women are convinced that his body was not there. And then Jesus tells them in verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, and all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And you see, the Bible teaches that Jesus appears to us. Does he appear to me in a physical form? Is there a way I can know that he's there? And is there a way I cannot let Jesus pass me by? Don't let Jesus pass you by. There is. Look at verse 29. By the way, let's go back to verse 28. There's something I want to point out right there. He says, then they drew near to the village where they were going. That means they've walked about close to 7 miles. And the Bible says he indicated that he would have gone farther. Jesus is in his resurrected body. And did you know that walking in Jerusalem, in the area of Jerusalem and to Emmaus, if you've ever been to Israel, you can testify that there's no flat roads. It's hilly. It's up and it's down and it's around corners and over rocks. They would have been tired by the time they got home after walking that kind of a journey. But not Jesus. You see, in your resurrected body, you'll never get tired. In your resurrected body, you may be tired right now, and you may be feeling bad. You may be sick. But let me tell you, there's hope, because in your resurrected body, never again will you have to suffer the confinements of these bodies, because your body just won't get tired. Now, I don't know why that Jesus said that. I don't know if it's because he wasn't tired. I don't know if he wanted them to have to make him to stay with them. I'm not sure what his motive was right here. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now, I don't believe that they constrained him because they were just wanting to be nice. I believe they constrained him because their empty hearts were feeling something happening. We know that, because the Bible will tell us that in just a second. They constrained him because they knew that what they were hearing from him made sense. That what they were hearing from him, it was making the resurrection start come to light. Things were starting to make sense why Jesus came, why Jesus did the messianic miracles that he did. And you see, they were starting to realize that they needed this Jesus. You see, we can't live without Christ, and you can't live eternal with the Lord in heaven apart from Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And so you don't want to let Jesus pass you by. You don't want to walk away from the resurrection. Then number three, don't ignore Scripture. So in verse 29, they said they constrained him. They said, "Abide with us." That's what we need to do when the Lord is speaking to our heart. You don't want to just walk away. If God is dealing with your heart, the God of this universe is speaking to you. And he deserves your complete attention when he speaks to your heart. But look at verse 32. "And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the Scripture to us?" When did that happen? When did they make that testament of how their heart was burning as Jesus spoke with them? It happened whenever they sat down for their meal. They sit down for their meal. They've invited Jesus into their home, and it was common to break the bread. Now, you got to remember, their bread wasn't like our bread, already sliced in a loaf. It wasn't like that. They didn't have Mrs. Baird's. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff. And so when Jesus is breaking the bread, he reveals himself to them. I think that that was a very important moment, because what Jesus was doing, he had already explained that he is the body that would be broken for them. And I can just see, as Jesus hands them the bread and the nail-scarred hands that he hands them the bread with, maybe and perhaps he opened their eyes at that moment to realize he was the crucified Savior. You see, Jesus was bodily resurrected in the same body that was buried and that was dead. And so there's Jesus revealing himself, and here's their reaction. The Bible says that when he revealed himself in verse 31, watch this. "Then their eyes were opened," that's their spiritual eyes, "and they knew him." It's one thing to know Jesus with a mental acknowledgement. They had that. A great prophet, a man mighty indeed. But it's another thing to know Jesus from your heart. And now they knew him from their heart. And the Bible says, "And he vanished from their sight." Can you imagine that? There's Jesus physically breaking bread, eating with you. He's been sharing with you from the Scriptures concerning himself. And then as soon as he reveals himself that he is the resurrected Savior, he vanishes. Why did he vanish? Because his work with them at that moment had been done. He's still doing other work. But the thing is this was a lesson. Now you've got to walk by faith. You've just got to believe. And I love the next part. Don't ignore Scripture. Did you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can write this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Listen to what he says right here, what Paul says concerning the Scriptures and the resurrection. He says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins," here's the first time in that verse, "according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again," that's the resurrection. You see, the gospel is the birth of Jesus. He lived a perfect life for 33 years without sin. He died on the cross. It's the death of Jesus for our sin. And then on the third day, he rose again. And there it is again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. "According to the Scriptures." And they said our hearts burned as he shared those Scriptures. You can make a note of Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah had been sharing the things of God and the Word of God as God would reveal it to him. And Jeremiah got to this place and he said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You see, the word of God has the power to transform your heart. And the word of God has the power to change your life. And the word of God is an accurate testimony of Jesus. You say, I just struggle with believing the Bible. Well, I want you to know that the receipt is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, but I wasn't there, so I didn't see it. How can I know it's true? Because of the witnesses. The witnesses have had a continuity all the way from the resurrection of Jesus all the way to today. I am a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No, I didn't see Jesus resurrect from the grave, but when he saved me in a hotel room in Corsicana, Texas, I am a witness to the living Savior because I met a living Savior in that hotel room that night when I was born again. Christians today that believe in Jesus are witnesses. Even though they weren't there to see the resurrection, they've been affected by it. And so Jesus has been walking with these two on the road to Emmaus, and he's revealing these Old Testament scriptures. The Bible says he expounded to them from Moses. You say, well, what did he expound to them from Moses? What was it that he showed them? Well, I don't know all the scriptures that he shared, but I know one thing. I know what the whole book of Exodus is all about. And you can't read the book of Exodus and not see Jesus. When you look in the book of Exodus, you're seeing the blood. The blood we talked about last week that was around the doorpost. The lamb that had to die. That's Jesus. We see Jesus in the burning bush. That Christophany, when he appears to Moses and says, go deliver my people and bring them out that they may worship me. We see Jesus in the cloud. We see Jesus in the fire. We see Jesus in the splitting of the Red Sea. We see Jesus in the manna that came from heaven. Jesus Christ, according to John 3:17, he came from heaven. In John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. So in Exodus, the whole book is about Jesus. He is the lawgiver in Exodus chapter 20. We see him in Deuteronomy. We see him in the book of Numbers whenever the serpent is lifted up on the pole. We see Jesus in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, as the seed. Jesus had plenty that he could speak from, just from the five books of Moses. And so our hearts burn within us when we see Jesus in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And I want you to see what happens when they understood who Jesus was. And I want you to write down, if you have your pen, I want you to write down Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And our fourth point is this, share your testimony of salvation. Look at verse 33 in Luke 24. And then after I read these verses, I want to read something from Romans 10, 9 that I don't want you to miss. In Luke 24, 33 says, and so they rose up that very hour. Now this is interesting to me. They have just walked 7 miles home from Jerusalem. They've just sat down to eat. They've just realized who Jesus is. They've just understood all these things. Now they are incredibly excited. When they were headed to Emmaus, they were walking and they were sad. But now they're walking back to Jerusalem. And well, I got a feeling they're running back to Jerusalem. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. And here's what they said. They're sharing their testimony. Verse 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Why is the first thing? I can just see them when they bust through the doors where the disciples are. And they say, hey, Jesus is alive. He is risen indeed. Why are they so excited? Because they were there when the ladies had come in there. They were there when they had heard the testimony, but they did not believe it. And they were like, I can't wrap my arms around this resurrection thing. Let's go home. I've just had enough. Let's just go home. Now they run back and they say, let me tell you something. We can tell you proof positive as a living witness that Jesus Christ is alive today. He has risen indeed. You can trust him. You can take your Bible. You can take it to the bank. Every word in it is truth. You can believe it to the salvation of your souls. It's that truthful. And so they go back with that testimony. Now look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You know, I said earlier that the early preaching of the Bible included the resurrection. You can see it in Acts. You can see it throughout many of the scriptures, throughout the writings of Paul. And when we get to Romans 10, 9, now we quote these verses a lot. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Why is believing that God raised Jesus from the dead such an essential? Because it's this that proves his deity. You say, no, the miracles prove his deity. All the miracles he worked, that proves his deity. Well, it does. In a sense, it does. But it doesn't prove his deity the way this does. You see, Jesus prophesied his own death and resurrection. You see, Isaiah chapter 53 and all these Old Testament scriptures of the prophets prophesied that the Messiah, the Son of God, would be resurrected. But they didn't understand it. You see, it is essential to the gospel net. It is essential that we include the resurrection in the preaching of the gospel. That's why they did. Now you say, I'm a born-again Christian. I believe that. I believe that Jesus arose from the grave on the third day. But how does that affect me right now? I want to ask you, are you afraid of death? Don't be. Are you afraid of anything? No need to be. You see, Jesus is overcoming. He's overcome the world. There's nothing you have to fear. Now, it doesn't mean we don't use common sense. I mean, I went in a grocery store the other day with an allergy mask on. I don't know if it helps or not. But I think God wants us to use common sense. And I'm not used to walking around in a grocery store and everybody wearing a bunch of masks. It looks funny. And I'm not used to seeing gas at $1.28 a gallon. It don't look right. Things don't look right now. But I want to tell you something that does look right. My Savior, he still looks good, and he has not changed. I want to leave you with this poem as we close. It's by Eugene Harrison. It says, how do I know? How do I know that Christ is risen? What proof have I to give? He rescued me from sin's dark prison, and I began to live. How do I know that he left the tomb that Easter long ago? I met him at the dawn's fresh bloom, and life is all aglow. How do I know he gained for me access to heaven's door? Christ's work in me is guarantee of life forevermore. How do I know that Christ still lives, rich blessings to impart? Abundant grace and peace he gives and lives within my heart. And I want to ask you if you would pray with me. And I want to ask you to pray for others that hear the message and pray for others that are hearing other churches that have preached the message this morning. And let's pray that the sickle, the resurrection of Christ, would go into the great harvest. The Bible says the fields are white for harvest. Maybe you're watching right now, or maybe you're hearing this, dealing with your own heart, and you're wondering if you're a Christian, or maybe you know you're not, and the Holy Spirit is revealing it, and you want to be saved. You can call upon the name of the Lord from a heart of belief and faith, and he'll save you. The Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Would you believe in Jesus this morning? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you came out of that grave on the third day. I believe that you had pardons in your hand, and that you're handing out pardons to those who will believe and those who are being drawn of your Holy Spirit to the Son. And Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I admit my sin. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart and give me eternal life. I believe it and I receive it by faith, by the promise of your word. I believe that every word in the Bible is true. I don't understand it all, God, but I believe that you're God. I feel convicted of my sins. I feel drawn to you this morning. I feel a need to put my faith in you. And Lord, I respond by faith right now that, Lord, hear the cry of my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. Transform me, Lord. And Lord, I promise I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that, I believe that if you meant it and the Holy Spirit was drawing you, that the Lord Jesus saved you. Would you let somebody know that? Thank you for being with us this morning at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.